The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Today, Israel is a fairly industrialized country, but in some parts you can still see flocks of sheep led by the shepherd roaming the countryside. Along dusty roads, the shepherds lead the flock to where sufficient grass grows. He or she sits observing the flock when they have found a nice grassy area. They might seek the shade during the hottest time of the day. And the shepherds would also lead their flock to water. In southern Israel, where I mainly was, this meant leading the sheep to wells in the past rather than to streams. However, these days, many shepherds have a tractor with a large trailer at the back and park this up somewhere convenient so that sheep can easily be led to the watering point. The shepherd takes care of the sheep, protects the weak, and looks after the sick and vulnerable. Shepherds have been roaming the land for millennia in the Middle East. And with them, this image of the shepherd as caring and protecting has grown. In the ancient Near East, the metaphor of the shepherd looking after the sheep was often used for a king leading his people. However, in Israel, the metaphor was particularly applied to God's dealing with his people. And so through this, Israel knew that there was closeness and trust between Israel and God, just as there's closeness and trust between the shepherd and the sheep. Of course, we know that shepherds don't just look after the sheep out of the goodness of their own hearts, but because sheep are useful. The wool, milk, and meat were essential for the small farmers of ancient Israel, as they were for the inhabitants of the land throughout the centuries. However, in the biblical accounts, there is never any mention of this, except when shepherds do not do their job correctly. So in Ezekiel 34, for example, the corrupt leaders of Israel are compared to shepherds that eat the curds, clothe themselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but do not take care of the flock. So in Israel, the good shepherd is someone mainly who takes care of the sheep. Jesus also uses the metaphor of the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. In our gospel reading, Jesus highlights in particular the closeness between the shepherd and the sheep. He said that the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, as you can see in the Middle East, the shepherd always walks ahead of the sheep, but you can still see this in action of the shepherd calling his own sheep quite regularly when at wells or streams in the Middle East, the shepherds would come together to water their animals and also socialize a bit. And after a while, each shepherd would call his sheep and the sheep would follow their own shepherd as he walks ahead of them. In New Zealand, we normally chase the sheep from paddock to paddock. Here's my own daughter doing it. Because the sheep don't have much interaction with the shepherd. They don't know him or her. And unsurprisingly, herding sheep, most often with dogs, is therefore the easiest way to deal with them. But that was not the way sheep are kept in much of the world. My grandfather in Germany had sheep. He was a shepherd. And I still remember him leading his sheep out of the stable, along the village street, and out to pasture. Now, this is the only photo that I did not take myself. I thought I had one, but I couldn't find it yesterday. So this will have to do. My grandfather would always walk on ahead, and the sheep followed him. Yes, when the sheep were grazing on unfenced pasture, he also had a dog. He looked quite similar to this dog. So where he would stand watching his flock, and if a sheep strayed too far, he would send the dog to quickly herd the stray animal back to the flock. Nevertheless, for us, it was quite clear that the sheep would never follow anyone else but my grandfather. It is this closeness between shepherd and sheep that we are also called to. In the gospel, we read that the sheep will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Well, as we said, sheep do follow their shepherd. But when applied to the followers of Jesus, to Christians, this at times seems more aspirational than reality. Throughout church history and continuing to our own day, Christians have often been led astray. We only too readily follow a stranger's voice. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that Jesus himself said, "Many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many." Therefore, the words about listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd are not only assurance, but also warning not to be deceived. The words remind the followers of Jesus to remain faithful. That's why we also come to the mixed metaphor in our gospel reading. For suddenly Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate of the sheep." So some of us may stop and ask Jesus, "Jesus, can you get it straight, please? Are you the shepherd or are you the gate?" And I think maybe Jesus would say both. They're two separate metaphors. I'm the good shepherd, but I'm also the gate through which all followers need to go, and through which all helping shepherds of my flock must go. If we listen to people that tell us about faith but do not come through Jesus, if they do not start with Jesus, then, so to say, they are thieves and not sent by the shepherd. Similarly, if we think that we can reach good pasture by avoiding the gate, then we will not be saved. We will not have life to the full, as Jesus says. It is through Jesus that we receive life in all its fullness. Now, maybe it's a bit dangerous to point out just one of the voices that has carried many Christians away from Jesus, because there have been many in times gone by and today, but I'll do it because our reading from the first letter of Peter is directly related to it. One voice that has led many Christians astray today is the prosperity gospel. This is the false promise that if we give money to God, normally in the form of giving it to some rich preacher, and speak God's power into our lives, then we would be blessed with prosperity, worldly success, and health. The prosperity gospel uses God as an instrument to satisfy our own distorted aims. Quite apart that it might not always work, it is a misuse of God, so to say. As Christians, we are not called to prosperity and an easy life. Peter says that we are called to suffering because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, with that message, Peter probably would not fill huge auditoriums and make his book bestsellers. Well, not immediately, but his letters did make it into the Bible, one of the eternal bestsellers. That's because it conveys the Christian message, because Peter, so to say, entered through the gate. If we follow Jesus, then we are following the one who suffered for others, who gave his life for his sheep. Peter says that when others hurled insults at him, Jesus did not retaliate. When he suffered, he did not make threats. When Peter says that we are also called to a life of suffering, it is not because we enjoy or glorify suffering, but out of thankfulness for our new life in Jesus Christ. It is because through Jesus our aim in life is exactly not prosperity or achieving success. We do not aim to become better than others. Rather, our aim is to serve and through that change the world and draw closer to God. Earlier in the chapter, Peter says that it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. By accepting suffering as part of following Jesus Christ, we can stand against evil that seeks the advancement of ourselves, our group, or our nation against all others. Of course, that means not putting others down, but even more so, at times it also means not clinging to our own rights and not defending our own honor. Through this, we follow Jesus, who, after all, is our shepherd. And here we come back to our shepherd theme, as Peter does. If we follow Jesus even through suffering, we are close to Jesus and have come to our real shepherd. Then we have returned home, so to say. We are freed from the power of sin and instead are led by the good shepherd. Peter, apart from calling Jesus our shepherd, also calls him the overseer of our souls. The same word overseer or episcopus or bishop was also used of the leaders of local churches. These overseers were supposed to tend the flock to guide the faithful. Jesus is more than these local overseers. He is the one who knows us deeply, even to our souls. Jesus cares for us deeply. That's why we can trust and follow him, whatever happens to us.